by the righteousness, says the Lord God. And also verse 20. Even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. So Ezekiel probably knew of Daniel while he was writing. But he right here refers to those two as righteous in his writings. So God says that these three men are righteous. So what I was going to do is look at Noah first. Let's go to Genesis 6:9. So we'll read that verse first. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. And the only other person, I believe, that says walked with God is Enoch. Enoch walked with God, if you remember. And if you notice, all these in this era, they lived a long time. I guess they had an opportunity to live their life badly, or live it rightly. But they lived a long time, and so Noah. It says that he had his three sons when he was like 500 years old. That's amazing. So, I mean, it's good to look back in this stuff again and verses that say the details of their life. And 500 years old, he had three sons. Second Peter 2:5, I wrote down here, probably also referring. Second Peter, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing food, bringing in a flood on the world of the ungodly. So back in Noah's time, God saw that the world was becoming more evil, and the thoughts and intents of the heart were only evil continually. But there was one man, Noah, perfect, blameless, and having integrity. And God chose him to be his vehicle to give out the message. And what did he give? He gave a 120-year warning. That's amazing. 120 years. All but eight entered the ark. So chapter 7, verse 6. Noah was 600 years when the flood waters were on the earth. 600 years old. And then he exited the ark, and he said, "Populate the earth." But what happened to the earth after that? It got evil again. And if you compare things to today, everybody's the world is for themselves. They want, definitely don't want any thought of God. You mentioned Jesus Christ, and it's really offensive to them. But the world mostly don't know that they're heading for a lost eternity. And but Noah, in his days, they probably did a lot of laughing, and they probably persecuted him quite a bit, just for the saying, it's, you know, we've never had any water. What are you doing building a boat? They probably didn't even know what the boat was. But what's amazing to me that Noah obeyed God, did exactly what he told him to, and he persevered because he built that ark for over 100 years. And I don't know about you, but you know, when I'm working on the job, I don't like any part to take more than a couple days, let alone 100 and some odd years to build this ark. And he probably, yeah, he built it when he was in his, I don't know, his 500s, four to 500 years old. He started building that thing. But what an amazing thing that he built, and it's a picture of salvation. God's entered in to save whoever will. But they didn't save many. Just 8 entered the ark. And then let's go to Job. So let's read what Job has to say. And there's a lot in Job. I don't know if you ever tried to read Job. It's a big book. And some of it's like written in poetry form, basically. But so verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. He turned away from evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that the man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Job had great possessions, but he still was blameless, upright, and one who feared God and turned away from evil. I don't know about you, but that would take a lot of people to tend that much stuff. A lot of farms probably only have like 500 to 1,000 head of cattle, but this is huge. So let's read verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil." So Satan was out, you know, looking around like he usually does, looking for someone to bring down. And the Lord knew it, and he said, "Consider Job." And if you read on here, let's go to 2:3. Let's read chapter 2, verse 3. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, and there is none like him on the earth, blameless and upright man, one who fears and shuns evil. And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So in the previous chapter, he pretty much lost all his possessions. And later on, he loses his family. And then his health. But through all that, he still does not talk against God. He still praises the Lord. I don't know about you, but that I don't know if you'd be in your right mind after all that would happen. It's just amazing. But God knew his heart, and his heart was right, and he served God. Sometimes God allows things to enter our lives, and he gives us strength to get through these things. Sometimes we pray to remove it, but oftentimes he wants us to go through it, and how we what our attitude is through it, and how we handle the whole thing, and our attitude is either a good attitude or a bad attitude through each situation. But Job, I think, had a good attitude. And in the end, God blessed him, quite a bit more with possessions and family. But Job was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and turned away from evil. And that should be a characteristic of a Christian life. And then let's look at Daniel. Daniel 1:8. Now, Daniel was a slave. He was pretty much brought in from elsewhere, out of his country. And then verse 8, Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not be defiled by the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So he felt that God wanted him to eat differently. He do stuff differently. He didn't want to partake of the king's food and things that he had to offer. And he put the challenge out, and he ate just what was on his menu and Daniel's menu, and he turned out better. He turned out healthier and stronger than all the others that partake of the king's delicacies. So he purposed in his heart that he would do what God wanted him to do. And 10 times better. So let's work at 17 and 21. Chapter 1, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So right there, God gave him knowledge, and he's able to interpret dreams. So God gave him great ability through this. chapter 2, verse 17. And Daniel went to his house and made the decision to, known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek the mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and the companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So the king said, if you don't answer or tell me what the secret is, we'll put you to death. So Daniel was able to answer. So 2 verse 17, and God revealed the secret to Daniel. So God gave him that ability, and he used it, and told the king what the explanation was. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room with his window open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and as was his custom since earlier days. So some men decided to trick the king into signing something that says that Daniel cannot pray to his to God anymore. And so Daniel did as he always did, is prayed three times to the Lord. And of course they caught him in that. And where did they throw him? They throw him in the lion's den. And they tricked the king into signing this, and he had to go through with it. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, but God protected him. God didn't have to protect him, but God protected him and shut the lion's mouth. And through this, no matter what the situation, Daniel did not sway one way or another. He did what God wanted to, even when his life was on the line. So he prayed three times a day, and he did what God wanted him to do, and he ended up in the lion's den. But God saved him through it. Okay, so verse 19 of chapter 6. Then the king arose early in the morning and went in haste to the lion's, den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice, Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, be able to deliver you from the lion's den? So the king recognized that his God was real. Because that's another miracle. Those lions would have chewed him up. And Genesis, let me see. I got a couple verses here. Genesis 18:14. So, a couple verses here. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So, is anything too hard for the Lord? Absolutely not. And time and time again through the Bible, he shows us that nothing is too hard. Numbers 11:23. And the Lord said to Moses, "Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and they gathered 70 men of the elders and the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and placed the same upon 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. So the Lord did something else miraculous there. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. So he has made all creation. And I think we're going to stop there. So the Bible shows us men in the Bible that were righteous. And they showed by their life, their integrity, they believed God, and they obeyed. And God gave us these examples for our life. And there's nothing that the Lord can't do. As we go through each day, we need to talk to him because he wants to hear from us and tell him about what we're going through, even though he already knows. It's a call to be, as these examples here, it's a call to be righteous, do things that are pleasing to God, and be a testimony to those around us of the integrity. Do what you say, and when the opportunity comes, we can tell them why we're different. Tell them the Lord saved us, and we have life eternal. So that more will come into the kingdom, because time is short. And praise the Lord. His word speaks. All right.